Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and this is the Bengals Booth Podcast, the skin of their teeth edition. Coming up, we'll have radio replays, Dave Lapham's postgame analysis, and the following three things from the Bengals locker room after the game. One, you'll find out why we might have to start calling Dre Kirkpatrick Nostradamus. Two, we'll hear what term A.J. Green used to describe Carlos Dunlap after his game-winning pick six. And three, we'll hear from a defensive player who says the teammate Vontaze Burfict scared him into making one of the biggest plays of the day. Plus, as the Bengals celebrate their 50th season, we'll visit with the legendary Mike Reed, a former Pro Bowl defensive lineman who became a Grammy Award-winning songwriter. And if you're wondering if you've ever heard a song that he wrote, we'll play part of a big hit that he composed for Bonnie Raitt. Before we get to all of that, here's a reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. It's the greatest invention since that little plastic thing that prevents your pizza from sticking to the top of the box. Let's get to the highlights. The Colts came into the game coming off a 27-point loss to Jacksonville, where they surrendered 10 sacks. They were dead last in the NFL in points allowed at 31.7, and two of their best defensive players were out with injuries. As a result, the Bengals were favored by 10, and all signs pointed to a blowout. But in the immortal words of ESPN's Lee Corso, "Not so fast, my friend." It looked like the Bengals were going to roll when they sacked Jacoby Brissett twice on the Colts' opening drive and forced Indy to punt. Sanchez, the rookie punter, is in. Alex Erickson waits back at the 8-yard line. The snap is good. Sanchez had it blocked.
Nice.
It's blocked by Willis. The ball is rolling around, and it will roll out of bounds near midfield. Jordan Willis getting to Sanchez and blocking his punt. The Bengals drove to the Indy 10 before settling for a field goal. Clark Harris will snap. Kevin Huber will hold. Here comes the kick from Randy Bullock, and it's right down the middle as the Bengals take a 3-0 lead on their opening drive. The Bengals defense forced a 3-and-out, and the offense drove into the red zone again. This time, the drive stalled at the Indy 16-yard line. It'll be a 34-yard field goal attempt for Randy Bullock. The kick is on the way, and it is blocked. It's going to bounce into the end zone. It was blocked by Henry Anderson, and the Bengals failed to score after reaching the red zone. Ugh. Two red zone drives produced a total of 3 points. It was 3-0 Bengals at the end of the first quarter. The defense forced the Colts to punt again on their third drive, but the Bengals made another special teams mistake.
Another low one. Erickson moves forward a few steps, bobs it at the 24. The Colts scoop it up, and they'll have it at the 20-yard line as Barkevious Mingo had that ricochet bounce right to him.
The Colts capitalized as 74-year-old Adam Vinatieri, slight exaggeration, kicked a field goal to tie the game at 3. All right, no big deal. The Bengals had a field goal blocked and fumbled on a punt return. Surely they'd get their act together and pull away. Not quite.
Shotgun snap. Brissett looking to throw. Fires into the end zone. Touchdown. Doyle, as he jumped, extended the arms and caught it behind Sean Williams before an emphatic spike as the Colts take the lead.
Jack Doyle, an Indianapolis native and a former Indiana Pacers ball boy, finished with 12 catches for 121 yards, but largely because the Bengals geared their defense toward the great T.Y. Hilton, and he finished with 2 grabs for a measly 15 yards. The Bengals were behind for the first time, but answered with a 91-yard touchdown drive, 67 of those yards coming on this screen to Joe Mixon.
First and 10 Bengals from their own 30. The Bengals fake an end around. Here's a short throw to Joe Mixon with 2 blockers in front.
Come
flying
on, Joe.
Up the middle of the
Come
field.
On,
he's into
court
territory. And
Joe.
There he goes to the 20,
baby.
10, 5.
Oh.
And they bring him down from behind at the 3-yard line. Pierre Desir at least temporarily saves the touchdown, but it's a 67-yard screen to Joe Mixon.
Coach called a good play, and, you know, the linemen executed, receivers executed, and, you know, I was a little short of finishing, but, hey, it worked.
Joe Mixon's right, it worked, but it wasn't easy. After first and goal at the 3, the Bengals had an incomplete pass, a run for no yards, and a 5-yard false start penalty. They were in danger of making 3 trips into the red zone without scoring a touchdown.
A.J. Green out to the right. Shotgun snap to Dalton. 4-man rush. Throws into the end zone.
Nice.
Touchdown! A.J. Green on a crossing route. He beat his man and caught the touchdown pass to avert disaster.
The 48th time Andy Dalton's hit A.J. Green with a touchdown pass. The only Bengals duo to combine for more, Kenny Anderson to Isaac Curtis for 51 TDs. It looked like it was going to be 10-10 at the half, but with less than 30 seconds to go, Carl Lawson was called for roughing the passer. Referee Jerome Boger described the infraction as tackling the quarterback with full body weight. Huh? Tackling with full body weight? That's a penalty? Are you supposed to remove a limb first? Absolutely ridiculous. It led to another Vinatieri field goal and a 13-10 halftime lead for the Colts. The Bengals opened the second half exactly how you hoped they would, with a 77-yard touchdown drive to reclaim the lead, scoring on a 25-yard strike from Dalton to Josh Malone, the rookie's first NFL touchdown catch.
He's back to throw, gets smashed as he throws it toward the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown!
Oh.
Josh Malone with his first career touchdown catch as Andy Dalton was willing to take the hit, threw it off his back foot, and had just enough on the football to get it to rookie Josh Malone.
What a great feeling, I'm sure. Describe it.
Oh, it was amazing. I ran the post. I saw the safety come down, so I knew I had a great chance of the ball coming. And then when I found the ball, I was just like, oh, I was like the ball in the air, so... You know, I'm happy Andy trusted me go make that play and got the first touchdown.
But the Bengals' lead didn't last as the Colts answered on their next drive.
Now Jacoby takes the shotgun snap, back to throw. It's a screen caught by Mack. Look out. He's to the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Wow.
The Colts were up 20-17, and 3 plays later, Joe Mixon fumbled, and Indy took over in Bengals' territory. Another Vinatieri field goal made it 23-17 in the fourth quarter. Okay, the Hollywood script was set up perfectly. On his 30th birthday, Andy Dalton would come through with a game-winning drive in the fourth quarter.
Dalton back to throw, in trouble, and he will be sacked for a huge loss by rookie Terrell Basham. His first NFL sack. He had 1 tackle in 74 snaps. Coming into the game.
Dalton was sacked 3 times and hit 6 additional times. Too many, according to A.J. Green.
Yeah, that's tough because we're not going to win without that guy. So we have to take some more pride in to just not let anybody get some shots on him like that because he took some big shots today.
The Bengals were down by 6 midway through the fourth quarter and had to give the ball back to Indy. Time for the defense to come up with a takeaway for the first time in 2 games and just the 5th time all year.
Shotgun snap, the pass, deflected, and intercepted by Carlos Dunlap.
Baby.
And he runs it in for a Cincinnati touchdown. He batted the ball up in the air, snatched it out of the air, and then ran it into the house to tie the game.
We knew they were quick throwing because they're scared of our rush. We got great pass rushers, so I tried to do the next best thing. I mean, obviously, I would love to rush, but I seen an opportunity to get my hands up and get them on the ball and capitalize.
What was the sideline like when you came to the sideline after making that play? Was it crazy?
The sideline exploded. Everybody tackled me in the end zone. It was a great moment, you know, spinning with my guys. I saw a moment, and I just jumped on it.
It was a stunning turn of events, except to Dre Kirkpatrick, who says he predicted it.
If you ask him, he'll tell you, I called it. I said, Carlos, you about to get a pick 6. Where it came from, I don't know. You know, because I was like, man, we got to get a turnover there, not throwing the ball outside. Somebody got to make a play. And I told Carlos, I said, hey, get your hands up, bro. You about to get a pick 6.
And before that play?
I was for that one. But like right before, like, time he go from the huddle to the lineup, I just had told him. You know, I just was trying to encourage everybody, but – man, that's why we was tackling him, and I wouldn't let him up because I wanted to make sure, like, man, God is good, man. God is good because we needed that.
So Dre is Nostradamus. What word describes Dunlap? Here's A.J. Green.
He's a freak, man. Carlos is a freak of a talent, man, the way how big he is and how fast he is. So happy for him, and we needed that.
But the game wasn't over. In the final 3 minutes, needing only a field goal to win, the Colts drove from their 24 to the Bengals' 48, where they faced 4th and 4 with less than 90 seconds to go.
Takes the shotgun snap. He's back to throw. He's hit as he throws. It's incomplete.
Yeah.
No flags. And the Bengals are going to win. That is coffin nails.
Bam, bam, bam.
Chris Smith put the hit on Jacoby Brissett that put the game away. And in this case, there was no prediction before the snap. Just a stern look from Vontaze Burfict.
Tez looked me in the eye scary and said, make a play. You know, make a play.
So Vontaze essentially scared you into making that play?
Yeah. He's a pretty scary guy. Nah, that's my boy and everything. So that's one thing about it. I respect him as a player and a captain on our defense. So, you know, you don't want to let your teammate down.
The final score, 24-23 Bengals. Here are Green and Dalton after the game.
AJ, you had that Green Bay game this year where you guys played well, did a lot right, and didn't win.
Right.
Today, you kind of sputtered. A lot of things went wrong. At the end of the day, you got a W.
All right. That's all that matters. You can play bad and still come up with a W. Hey, we take that. But we know that we left a lot of plays out there. Shouldn't have been close like that.
You got to win by one, and we were able to do that. And, we'll be able to look at the tape and see what we need to do better. But at the end of the day, we got to win, and that's all that matters.
Truer words have never been spoken. Time to bring in my broadcast partner, Dave Lapham, for some post-game analysis.
A few weeks ago, the Bengals played well at Green Bay and lost. Today, they didn't play especially well and won. You'll take it. And the defense came up big in the fourth quarter to make it happen.
They did. You know, the defense closed it out. Obviously, Carlos Dunlap provides the game-winning points with the tip pass to himself, deflected pass, pick six. Second pick six of the season. William Jackson gets one, and Carlos Dunlap gets one. 5 interceptions in the season. They've taken 2 to the house, so that's a pretty good ratio of scoring, you know, unconventional scores, unscripted scores. That was big. And then also the offense couldn't close it out with their 4-minute drill. So, you know, the Colts get the ball back, and the Bengals have to make a play. On fourth down, Chris Smith puts a good hit on Jacoby Brissett, and the ball falls harmlessly incomplete. So they made plays when they had to down the stretch to close the game out. But like you said, Dan, didn't play particularly well. You know, I think all three phases would say we could do things better, but you still eke out a home win. But when you go on the road now to Jacksonville and Tennessee and Denver, you know, it's those guys mean business. You got to put on the big boy pads and be a lot more physical and take control of the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football better than they did today.
Andy Dalton was hit a lot. Joe Mixon had 18 yards on 11 carries. There just were no running lanes for him when they handed him the football. You hate to pile on the offensive line, but they're going to have to play much better on this 3-game road trip to come away with any W's.
There's no question. I mean, I think the both sides of the line of scrimmage, you're going to have to really step up their game, and particularly with the offensive line. I mean, you take away the gadget play with Alex Erickson, you take away Andy Dalton's scramble, and they rush for well under 2 yards a carry on the remaining snaps. And I think at one point we counted where I think it was like 13 out of 17 rushes were 3 yards or less. So there's no continuity, no consistency, hard to stay with the running game when it's performing like that. And then it's easier to rush the quarterback. We've talked about it many times. I mean, you know, Indianapolis started having a lot more success protecting their quarterback when Gore and Mack were running the ball pretty well. There's obviously going to be bigger areas, bigger cavities between the linebackers and safeties to take advantage of with Jack Doyle and others like they did. That's what the Bengals have to get into. They have to get started with those kind of things, get the running game going. It takes people out of some of the running lanes, or puts people into running lanes and takes them out of passing lanes so you can throw the football a lot easier. And they're going to have to be a lot more balanced than they have been in terms of productivity.
You mentioned Jack Doyle. This was a day where the Bengals at halftime honored the late, great Dan Ross, your former teammate who had 11 catches in the Super Bowl. Jack Doyle was like that today. He had 12 catches for Indianapolis. But on the flip side, T.Y. Hilton, one of the great deep threats in all of football, 2 catches, 15 yards. They completely neutralized him in the game.
Right. It was pick your poison. And they decided that, we try to control and contain Doyle. And he had 12 catches, 120-some-odd yards. So he had a first down every catch.
But T.Y. Hilton averages almost two first downs every catch. And, you know, it's demoralizing when you get the top taken off your defense for a big play. So, you know, the more plays you make the offense have to go on to score, the bigger chance there is for a mistake to be made. So you want to make them go on 8, 10, 12 play drives instead of, you know, one play over the top of you. And so, you know, there's concessions to be made. And they eliminated T.Y. Hilton and let Doyle have his plays.
The Bengals are 3-4 and about to hit the road for three straight games at Jacksonville, at Tennessee, at Denver. We'll see if they can leave Paul Brown Stadium and come away with some W's.
Amazingly, they have still not won the turnover battle in any game. They went -1 today. They're -10 on the season, and they're 3-4. Crazy, crazy.
It's got to turn.
It's got to turn. And hopefully when it turns in bunches. I hope Blake Bortles has a 4-interception day down in Jacksonville.
Let's hope that Lapp's prediction is as good as Dre Kirkpatrick's was. Time to switch gears. As part of the celebration of the Bengals' 50th season, fans and media members selected the top 50 retired players in team history. They are being honored at every regular season home game this year, and one of the players who returned to town last weekend was Mike Reed, who was voted as the 39th best player in team history. The defensive tackle made the Pro Bowl twice in his first five seasons, and then quit to start a music career. In fact, if you look up his Wikipedia page, he's listed as a singer, not a pro football player. Mike Reed joined Dave Lapham and me on Sunday's pregame show.
Everybody talks about quick twitch, you know, like unbelievable quickness, get off, first step. My goodness, this guy was the definition of it. Mike Reed was the quickest human being. I mean, I would say, I know I didn't close my eyes. How did he get from there to there so fast? I mean, it was unbelievable.
You know how I did
explosion.
It, Dave? Because I was looking at a guy like you who was going to eat my face off. And there's nothing like a good, you know, being inspired by fear. Okay, that's why when you're on the football field and guys like you are looking at you, that tends to make you move a little quicker.
Oh, you were unbelievable. When I put a hand on him in pass rush, Dan, I felt like I hit Nolan Ryan's fastball. That's how accomplished I felt. It was like, man, I actually touched Mike Reed. I feel pretty good today.
You're very sweet to say that, Davey. Make an old man feel good. Man, that's nice of you.
Sacks was not an official statistic when you played, but the Bengals went back and watched the film and compiled the list. 49 sacks in 64 NFL games. That's remarkable.
I would have never guessed that, man. I would never have guessed that. Yeah, it was not. I wonder when. Dave, do you guys know when the stat started happening? In the 80s?
Maybe? Yeah,
it was in the 80s.
It was in the 80s, yeah.
Started, I would have had no idea about that.
Corey Bacon had a 22-sack season.
Really?
Yeah, that would be the club record, or is the club record. But I remember out in Kansas City, you had a 5-sack game against Mo Mormon and the Kansas City Chiefs, and I was like, yeah, I know how you feel. I know exactly how you feel.
Listen, Davey, I bet, you know, as I recall, it was a good day. I had two, probably solid three maybe, and the other two were cleanups where they were flushed and I happened to be the guy getting in the way, and you get credit for it, you know. But the next year, it was against Mo Mormon, and the next year they came in, and I had cracked a vertebra in my back, but I didn't know that's what it was and was eating some muscle relaxants. And I probably shouldn't even tried to play, but I went out on that field, and he looked at me, I said, man, I don't know what this guy's taken, what they've injected into him, but I'm glad I'm hurt. I don't want to have to play against this guy today. He was going to not let that happen again.
I hear you.
Yeah, he was not going to let that happen again. And we won that game, I think, out in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's a tough place to play.
In those days, you know, my rookie year, Dan, was the first, third year for the franchise. So we weren't really expected to beat anybody. But my rookie year, we started, Ron Carpenter's here and Tommy Casanova, you're going to talk to. We started 1-6. And so I know what that feels like. I know what the culture feeling. I know where they are. I know the Bengals are not having the year they are hoping to have. It's a grind. But then we ran the table and went 8-6 and went to the playoffs.
How about that?
Yeah, it was a turnaround. So it can happen. Yeah. It can happen. But I think don't you think, Dave, it's a different – the game is the same. It's still a game of blocking, tackling, running, catching, and throwing.
Right.
It's always going to be that. But the athleticism of these guys, you have guys this big moving this fast.
That's a big part of it, I think, the biggest part. But, I mean, when we played, there were no sub-packages. There were no nickel, dime.
No.
You played. You
no.
played offense. You played defense. You played.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, it was the guy you were matching up against. And
the guy,
now you have a million coaches, and it's all schematic. And you know.
Listen, I'm going to confess to you. I'm 70 years old, and I'll confess to you. I had no idea what anyone else was doing on the field. They say, well, what's your philosophy? I don't know. There's going to be a guy who has the ball. Get him and get him down on the ground.
Right.
That's the kind of
right.
scheme. Yeah.
Penn State. Mike Reed. Steve Smear. Dennis Oncosh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember all
you know, how about this? Underclassmen, too, on that team. Jack Ham. Franco Harris.
Lydell Mitchell.
We used to say to
Paterno.
Paterno, you know, we used to say to Paterno. And Franco was a blocking back in college.
Right.
If you're such a genius, Joe, you're such a coaching genius, why'd you make Franco Harris a blocking back? And his answer was because he was blocking for Lydell Mitchell.
There you go.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was his answer.
Well, you were undefeated as a junior and a senior at Penn State, so yeah. Joe Pa was clearly doing some things right. As I mentioned, we're visiting with the great Mike Reed. After your playing career, you became a Grammy Award-winning songwriter. And I think when people hear that, they think, I wonder if he's written anything that I've heard.
Well, these songs go back, though. They're old.
I just want to point out that 26 years ago, you wrote a gorgeous song that became a big hit for Bonnie Raitt. A panel of songwriters, including Paul McCartney and Carole King, voted this as the 8th greatest song of all time.
Wow.
Let's listen to a little bit of I Can't Make You Love Me with Bonnie Raitt.
That's incredible.
Just a little snippet of that magnificent song. It's been recorded by other greats like Adele, George Michael, Prince cut a version of that. What's it like? How does it compare to a great achievement as a college and NFL player and then to write a song like that that will live for all time?
Well, when you're writing, you don't know that it will have a life, and you have to write and hope that your song will intersect with a great artist. In this case, I don't know any other artist. I can't think of any other artist that would have done for that song what Bonnie did. And she took it to the world. You know, there's a point, great artists take the song and make it their own, and then the writers get to stay home and go to the mailbox in their bathrobe. You know, that's what songwriter. The good indication you're a songwriter is, a buddy of mine said, is when you look at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you're still in the clothes you slept in. Right? That's the life of a songwriter. But I'll tell you what, let me just interject this about what you just did for me, beyond what I can explain to you guys. I wasn't sure about coming back, you know, because the world, it's a long time ago. And I'm conflicted about certain things, you know, in the sports. Maybe you should have played a little longer and whatnot. Did I make the right choice? And I think about that, you know. And I come back here and seeing Dave and Ron Carpenter and Bernard
Whittington,
yeah, right. These guys. And then to have you play that song at this event is... it means more to me than I could possibly say. I'm usually a big mouth and I have a blabbermouth opinion about everything, but you guys caught me off guard with this one. I can't tell you what this means.
To achieve greatness in two fields, football and the music world, is just incomprehensible. You're a great man, Mike Reed.
Dave,
really are.
You're kind and generous, and those are the things that matter when you get our age, I think.
No question.
Yeah. Thank you both for that.
What a treat to talk football and music with the remarkable Mike Reed. That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe and do me a favor. Give it a rating or leave a comment. It would be great to know how many of you are listening and just what you think. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.